Jesus came home with his disciples. Again, the crowd gathered, making it impossible for him even to eat. When his relatives heard of this, they set out to seize him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." The scribes who had come from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons, he drives out demons." Summoning them, he began to speak to them in parables. "How can Satan drive out Satan? The kingdom is divided against itself. That kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. That is the end of him. But no one can enter a strong man's house to plunder his property unless he first ties up the strong man, that he can plunder the house. Amen, I say to you, all sins and blasphemies that people utter will be forgiven them. Whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness and is guilty of everlasting sin. For he said to them, he has an unclean spirit." His mother and his brothers arrived, standing outside, and sent word and called him. Crowd seated around him told him, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." But he said to them in reply, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" Looking around to those seated in the circle, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. The one who does the will of God is brother and sister and mother to me." The Gospel of the Lord. In his 1963 book, The Strength to Love, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. wrote these words: "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands in times of challenge and controversy." Challenge and controversy. I share those words today, church, because all of our readings on this 10th Sunday of Ordinary Time talk about tension. If you were paying attention to God's word, because we know that God is present in the word, amen? You heard about tension in the reading. First reading today, way back in the book of Genesis, our first book of texts in the scriptures, we hear the story of how sin enters our world, how the devil gets in the middle of relationships and breaks them down, and the blame game starts. The tension that arises between Adam and Eve, Adam and himself, and Eve and Adam with all creation and with God ultimately, is with us today. This tension in the first reading. St. Paul, writing to the people of Corinth, speaks about the tension between life and death. One day, all of us will face that reality of death. But there's a tension and a restlessness that exists because, first of all, we don't know when we're going to die. I've seen people that folks have said they ain't got much time, and they keep on living. But it ain't over until God says it's over. And the tension we see very, very evident today in the gospel is Jesus and the community. Anytime you have folks, even church folks, you're going to have some tension. It's part of our human dynamic, right? In our families, we have tension. In our workplace, we may have some tension. Even in the convent, There are about six women who just paid attention to me right now. Even among the sisters, there might be some tension. The family of Jesus can't understand his ministry. They come to seize him. Something's wrong with him. And the people can't understand that God has come among them. Emmanuel, God is with us. The God has become incarnate. God is walking with them. They don't understand that the kingdom of God was among them. What Jesus offered was totally different from what they were used to. They thought it was somehow satanic. He's possessed. Tension in ministry. And they come to say to him, we want to take you back home because there's something wrong with you. And Jesus explained to them in parable that if Satan is divided, it can't be. I can't be on both sides. There's got to be a right side and a wrong side. And he embraces their tension because Jesus knows who he is. He knows his mission. He knows his Father. And because of that, he's able to stand strong in the midst of challenge and controversy. Not concerned about how popular he is. Not concerned about the crowd size. He's concerned about doing the will of God. We try it again. He is concerned about doing the will of God. And that's what draws us out. It ought to, Sunday after Sunday, to get nourished, to get right, to be instructed that we too can go out and do the will of God. He says, who is my mother? Who is my brother, my sister? Going beyond the bloodline. If you are baptized in Christ Jesus, if you are baptized, you too, brother and sister and mother, part of the family of God. And your instruction is to do God's will. And even when folks don't want you to do that, Dr. King did not want to be in that pulpit of social justice and morality for our country. Just get married. Pass a little church down south. Do some teaching. But God had something else in mind for him. And thank God he did. We would not be who we are today if he didn't step up, stand out, and take his place to prick America's conscience, to live out what we say we believe. All are created equal in the eyes of God. Where do you stand in times of challenge and controversy? Where do you stand when the whole world tells you to sit down and you stand up? When the whole world tells you to stand and you sit? I thank God Rosa Parks sat and made her stand. You see, don't get caught up so much in my word today, stand. Because you can protest and be prophetic in all kinds of postures. No doubt that our modern world today is full of tension, controversy, challenge. Whatever you think of our president, we need to pray for him as he goes in this summit. I've been praying all morning because one false move, especially when you leave behind your allies, one false move, it could change the world's face. Do you realize that, church? We got to pray that somehow Jesus gets in the room. Somehow, arrogance and meanness and a false masculinity gets out of the room, and somehow this common sense. Where do you stand? What's your posture in difficult moments? How oftentimes we're at a gathering and we hear something being said that we know just is not right. Even if it's true, do you need to share it? How many times we do this thing called gossip? Did you hear? You know what's going on, right? And we're so quick to tear down someone's reputation just because we, did you hear? And sometimes it's our lustfulness, gossip, our lust to have the story, to tear someone down. What do? We hear someone saying something we know just is not right. In our laughter or our silence gives consent. You're getting quiet now. Our laughter, I've done it. I ain't got reason to lie. There's been times when I've been in circles and I know I should have said something. Why didn't I speak up when we were talking about that issue? Why didn't I say, well, I don't agree with that? You ain't got to be nasty. But be honest. Where is our posture in the midst of situations that we know are not right? Or do we, ha, 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 ha? Or our silence gives consent that we agree. We live in some troubled days, church, some tense days. And you should be every day ordering your steps on how you position yourself, whether it's politically, church, even family. The Lord says, my family are my people who hear the word and keep it. Even separate himself from family. Not to break up relationships. But if your relationship is not first and foremost rooted in Christ, all other ground is sinking sand. My hope is filled on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. If you're not standing on the ground of Jesus, that rock of Christ, you'll sink with your laughter. You and I today are positioned in a beautiful way to make our posture known, to make our situation known, to stand up or sit down or put our hands in the air and say, no, I don't agree with that. That's not where I'm coming from. In this world today, our young people especially need to look to us to see. Many of you in this church today have been on the battlefield. You've experienced, and somehow we've got intoxicated that all was right in America because we had a black president. I think we are more tense now than we were before. I think the problems are greater now than they were before. One man that came in prayer today as I was preparing this word is John McCain. John McCain is a veteran, war hero. And yes, he was a hero. Republican senator of Arizona. I don't bring his name up to get a political conversation going, church, but because he's done a number of things, even this morning with a tweet to our ally, to remind them that we just cannot keep hugging ourselves as Americans and not be involved in fair trade and fair conversations with those we share this wonderful universe with. Somehow this idea which by ourselves is just sick. He has no problem as he battles brain cancer. his mind still right. The reason why I bring him up today, you may recall, when Barack Obama was a senator from Illinois and was running his first term, for his first term as president, he was running against John McCain. And in a town hall meeting, a woman stood up to offer that false narrative of Barack Obama not being an American citizen, not being born here, and began it, and he says, stop that. He's a good man. And he shuts her down. That's what I'm talking about when you stand for posture and position, Kurt. That's what I'm talking about. He could have very easily said, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I think so too. I want to see the birth certificate. He could have continued, but he did not need. What was more important was his moral compass than getting votes. What was more important was his moral compass tearing down someone. The untruth. He could have said, ha, 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 ha. Could have said nothing. Basically, he said, sit your down and be quiet. They're my words. That's what I would have said. What's our posture? What's our posture? What's our posture when we've tied sports to go into the White House? What's our posture when we do not speak out for immigrants? What's our posture when we don't speak out for those who are unborn? What's our posture, church? When it comes to things today in our own community, what is our posture? Because the ultimate measure of a man or a woman or a child or an elder is not how tall you are. Is that how much money you have in the bank? No matter how many degrees you got, no matter what your zip code may be, what is your posture when it's difficult? I often end my homilies with a song. I won't today, at least one that's sung. But I will call you back to an old school song, Stand By Me. Stand By Me. You see, at nighttime or daytime, I want Jesus to stand by me. When I got a lot of money or I'm poor, I want Jesus to stand by me. When nobody else wants to recognize me, I want Jesus to recognize me. Stand by me. I want Jesus to know I've tried to live my life on the right side of God. I want Jesus to stand by me. When the world says, sit down, I will stand up. When the world says, get back to the locker room, I will stand up and stand out. Stand by me. Oh, darling, Jesus. And all my friends are gone. I got a friend in Jesus. I got no more money. I got a friend in Jesus. When folks don't understand what you're trying to do, I got a friend in Jesus. I thank God he woke me up this morning. I thank God I'm here. I thank God I'm once again to just be in ministry once again. I thank God. Stand by me.